not real complicated. There's a lot of verses in there. We're going to see if the projection people can keep up with us. I don't know if that's called projection anymore. If the media people could keep up with us this morning. If you're going to have your Bible, these are some great verses that I'd love to have you underline and stuff. I'm going to go kind of fast through it. But we're going to mostly look at Scripture this morning and kind of set the pace for where we want to go through the rest of this Easter season. And so I'm putting together messages that we're starting today, and it's going through. We're talking about Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, who you think Jesus Christ was, who the people think Jesus Christ was, and some of the people in his day who they say Jesus Christ was. So we're looking forward to that the whole way through Easter. We have a Good Friday service here with communion. Good Friday from 7 to 8, and that'll be really cool. Good, really good stuff planned for that day. The sunrise service and the Easter Sunday service. And we're going to have a good time. And I just bring people. If you just be already planning this. A lot of you guys, there was a lot of visitors here for the Sportsman's Banquet. Really excellent job. Again, I just want to reiterate, I really appreciate the 50 to 75 people who have been involved in planning this thing for a long time. A lot of you guys that came and decorated and worked and carried stuff and served and washed dishes and just all that kind of stuff. Thank you for your participation in that. That is what God calls us to do, to serve. And it's really cool because if anybody was encouraged spiritually, if anybody, if last night and the last two nights were a part of their coming to know Jesus Christ, when you get to heaven, you're going to hear about that because of your participation in that. That's storing up treasures in heaven. And that doesn't mean everybody has to be there, because a lot of you guys get involved in a lot of different stuff. But thank you for doing that. But when it comes to Easter, a lot of people will come to church on Easter Sunday, and a lot of people come to church Christmas. So great time to bring someone to church. We will share the gospel gently but plainly and really challenge some thought that morning. And it's going to be a really good morning. So plan on your Easter there. And if you can make it to the Good Friday service, that's great. And if you make it to the Easter, the sunrise, and all that kind of stuff, that'll be cool. And you guys that are in ministry, you're going to be here the entire day, Easter, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning early, Sunday. It's going to be really, but it's a fun day. Anyway, you can kind of look at the notes and look at the songs that we're singing and kind of get an idea of where we're going. And I want to start out in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 to 20. Going to read a lot of verses, and we're going to ask a question, and it's a really hugely important question that Jesus answers on the surface. Here's what I don't want you to do. Is that for me, Brad? Oh, thanks. No, that's all right. Thanks anyway. On the surface, it looks like a simple question, and most of you guys are not going to have any problem answering the question that Jesus asked right in the beginning. But I would like you to reserve your comments about this until we get to the end, because it's not as clear as it seems, all right? On the surface it is, but when we get to the end of the service today, we're going to ask the same question, and hopefully I'm going to get you to think, and the Holy Spirit is going to have you think and come to some kind of understanding. So I'm really asking God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you today, God Himself to speak to you today, and to speak to me. And when I started out this message, it's like, okay, it's not like a big deal. I mean, to tell church people, ask them this question, everybody can answer. But there's something, even as church people, there's something that we really need to look at. And so I think it's going to take us a little bit deeper. It kind of took me deeper than I thought it was going to go this morning. So I want to pray and start this morning, because it is a huge question that God is very interested in the answer. And the answer to this question will determine the way you live your life as a believer or a non-believer. And so let me pray, and let's ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and we're here in your presence. You don't live in this church. You live in the believers of Jesus Christ, but we're all gathered together and we become a church this morning. I invite your Holy Spirit here. And Satan knows where we're going with this message, and he hates this. And he'll do whatever he can to keep us from being truthful and honest with this question. And I just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, God. Help us to go home from here a little more convinced in truth than when we came. You're great, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The elders are anxious for Nick, and he's putting together a whole security team for the church, so I appreciate that announcement, and we want you guys to feel safe and to have kids and to know that even now, there are two well-trained security people guarding the doors and your children's ministries and stuff like that, so don't you feel safer already? Yeah, all right. I still think I'm in the safest church in the world. The problem is, if anybody ever comes in to do anything to us, there's going to be a gunfight in here by about 150 women that carry guns in this church, all right? So I don't know where you keep them, but they're there, all right? But anyway, so Luke 9, 18 to 20. And Jesus just, he went to the Gennesaret, he got there in the boat, and there were two demon-possessed men that lived in the tomb, and they lived in the tombs, and Jesus cast the demons out of them, and they ran into a herd of pigs, and they jumped off the cliff, oink, you know, into the water, and, you know, the disciples were amazing. And then the next thing he did right before this was Jairus' daughter had died, okay? She was sick and then she died, and Jesus went a couple days after she died, raised her from the dead. On the way there, there was this woman with an issue of blood, or the bleeding woman we call, and she believed in God so much that she came up behind him and just touched the hem of his garment, and her incurable disease was instantly cured. So this is the setting of this, and once Jesus was praying in private, this is Luke 9, 18 to 20. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, then he fed the 5,000 people. I just forgot about that. That was a small thing. He asked the disciples, he said, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" Now this is interesting, because one of the things we don't want to do is, so how did you guys like what I'm saying? You know, it just seems like, and Jesus wasn't always interested. He was interested in who, but he had a better lesson. He said, who do the people say that I am? And his disciples replied to him. They replied, "Some say you're John the Baptist that come back from the, or you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others say you're Elijah who's come back. And still others that you're one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." And then Jesus asked the question that we need to deal with. He looked at him in the face and said, "That's all well and good. But what about you?" He asked, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" See, this is a major life question that we need to know the answer and live the answer and believe the answer. And we can all say, if I were to ask you, who do you say that Jesus was? Most of you guys are church people. You're going to say what? He was God. He was the Son of God. He was God himself. And you guys know that, and you're going to say that. Okay, so that's the simple answer. Now we have that out of the way. I believe most of you guys believe that Jesus Christ was God. But Jesus is very interested in the answer to that question. Peter answered, "God's Messiah, you're God in flesh," okay? Now it's a simple answer, but the ramifications of that answer and how you live according to that answer are huge in your life. They're enormous. But before we get to that answer, I want to look at a whole lot of people in Jesus' life right through this one section of John, okay? This is right after Jesus gives up. He's got like 250 disciples at this point. And he starts talking about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, okay? Unless you participate in my death and my life, unless you participate in that, then you should have no part of me. And the disciples said, God's expecting a little too much. I don't want to participate in your death, okay? And that's what we do with communion. We remember that. But they said, I don't want to participate in your death. And almost 250 disciples left him at once. He was left with 12, and one of them was Judas. And all of a sudden he said, aren't you guys going to leave too? And the disciples had a good answer. Hey, you have the answers to life. Where else can we go get the answers to life? And so this is when this takes place, this section of time. So what did other people say about him? The first people I want to look at is his family. All right, one passage about his family, John 7, 3 to 5. Okay, now Jesus was a wanted man in Judea. So he was in Galilee at this point. And there was a big festival of the Tabernacles when they celebrated what God did in the past. And so, but if he went to Judea, he was going to be probably taken and killed. And here's what his family, his brother, said. John 7, 3 to 5. This is who, at this point, they thought he was. Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do." Now, they knew he was going to be probably killed if he went there. "And leave and go to Judea and let your disciples see the works that you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret," okay? "Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world, for even his own brothers did not believe in him." His own brothers did not believe in him. They thought he was just into doing this public stuff and this show. He's got special talents, and obviously he's not God. And so why don't you go to Judea? And I know people are trying to kill you, but big deal. So he didn't have a lot of family support back then, okay? They didn't believe that he was God. They believed that he was just a person that was interested in some public things. And then we get to the crowd, okay? John 7, 15 to 20. Now there's quite a few different things of the crowd. We pulled him just out of this one section of his life. The Jews there were amazed, and he did some teaching in the temple at the Feast of the Tabernacles, and the Jews there were amazed and said, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Okay? And Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth, and there is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law." And then he says, "Why are you trying to kill me?" Okay, he confronts him with, "Why are you trying to kill me?" So this part of the crowd wanted to kill him. And they said, "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answer. "Who's trying to kill you?" So the crowd at this point where he's speaking to were starting to convince themselves that he was not of God, he was out for his own glory, and he was demon-possessed. Okay, not everybody feels that way today, but they did. "You're demon-possessed," the crowd answer. "Who's trying to kill you?" John 7, 40 to 44. On hearing his words after he taught again, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet, the prophet." Others say, "He's the Messiah." Still others ask, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, okay, to execute him, but no one laid a hand on him. So he's got a crowd that thinks he's demon-possessed. They got a crowd that says he got either the Messiah or the prophet, and if he was the Messiah, he would have come from Bethlehem. Little did they know he did, but you know, he was not going to come from Galilee because no one there is educated. That's why they were amazed at his learning there, because surely God couldn't give somebody the ability to teach. It had to be learned in a place other than Galilee. And then we get John 7, 40 to 44. On hearing his words, did I just read that one? I just read that one. Okay, good. Oh, man, we are making time. I can slow down. Oh, okay. And then in the middle of all this, he goes into the temple, and there's a man there in the temple who was blind from birth, and Jesus just happens to heal him. And that caused such a ruckus because it was on the Sabbath day, and the leaders of the synagogue were frustrated, and everybody was mad at him, and it caused a big thing. And their interview with the man was great. It was really cool. But we get to John 10, 19 to 21. The Jews who heard these words, and what the words he said, he says, "I can lay down my life, and I can pick it up anytime I want," he said in talking about himself. The Jews who heard these words again were divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad." Okay, so now he gets to the raving mad kind of thing. Okay, I just picture this. We always think that if I could just talk to Jesus, if Jesus was just here, then I would believe, you know? If he just told me face-to-face who he was, obviously we would believe. If he came in here and did this miracle, and an amazing miracle among us, and I'm trying to think of what a miracle he could do among us, you know, just like theater chairs. The fix the projector, yeah, that doesn't blink on and off. And we all say, "Whoa, you are Jesus, you are God alone, you are awesome," you know. And so Jesus is there doing these amazing miracles, and they still think he's demon-possessed. They think he's a raving mad lunatic. How in the world, where do they get that stuff? Where do they get that stuff? Satan, okay? He's blinded the minds of people. And so God is very interested in who we believe. Jesus was very interested, rightly so, in who we believe he is, because who you think Jesus is seals your eternal destiny. It changes your thinking. It will change your lifestyle and the way you live and think. It should. But so some of the people wanted to seize him, wanted to kill him. Some says he's demon-possessed, he's raving mad. Why listen to him, they say in John 10:19. But others said, these are not the saying of a man possessed by demons. Can a demon open up the eyes of the blind? And so some people were believing what he said. Some people were listening to him. And then the Pharisees heard about it, so they sent a bunch of guards to the temple to arrest Jesus and bring him in. And they got there. It's pretty cool. They came back to the temple without him. And here's what happened, John 7:45-49. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? And the guards, their soldiers, the guards said, no one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he has deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? No. Which some of them did. But no. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there's a curse on them. They think Jesus is putting a curse on the people. He's got a little hex symbol up there, hex sign. You know, and he's doing, that's my, I don't know how to curse people. I never cursed anybody, but you know. Cursings be upon you. But they thought, you know, so they think he's demon-possessed. They think he's a lunatic. They think he could be the Messiah. They think he could be a prophet. They think he might be Elijah come back from the dead. It's just amazing, the things. And if you talk to people today, who do they think Jesus was and all about God, you're going to find a lot of these same things. So that's who he's dealing with people. He was interested, who do the people say that I am? And he found out very quickly after that. Okay? And now, it's like, what does the Bible say about who he is? That's what the people thought. The people aren't always right, okay? Who does the Bible say he is? Now we're getting to a little bit of interesting stuff. Who does the Bible say that Jesus is? What does the Bible say about who Jesus was? So I want to go through some things really quick. And I think one of the really cool things, the Bible is very clear who Jesus is. And John 1:1-14, and I'm going to just take some of the beginning verses, some of the end verses. The Bible says, in the beginning, and you all know this, in the beginning was the Word. Now listen to this, okay, remember that. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Bible specifically says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word, and we know in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And then what's it say? The Word was God. You can't get a whole lot plainer than that than what the Word is. Now listen to this coming up. And the Word was with God. He was with God, that's the Word, was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Now, who created the heaven and the earth? And who made everything? God. Who was with God and who was God? The Word. The Word created, he was God, very clearly, okay? Then it said, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. So the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Who was that referring to? Jesus. So you can replace the Word with Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. The Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning, and through Jesus all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Then Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And drop down a few verses. The true light that gives light to everyone is coming into the world. He was in the world, that's the Word, that's Jesus. And though the world was made through Jesus, the world did not recognize him. Jesus or God, whichever you call it, he came to that which was his own, that's the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse is very, very clear many times that the Word was Jesus, Jesus was with God, Jesus was God, God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. God came to the Jewish people. God in flesh came to the Jewish people. They rejected him, which I'm not glad for them, but I'm glad for me because I think I'm a Gentile. Whatever that is. It's everyone else that isn't a Jew. And now I have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. Awesome. So John talks about that. Colossians 1, 15 to 17. 15 to 17. The Son, this is how referred to Jesus, the Son or the Word, okay, God in flesh. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him, talking about Jesus, the Son, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, the visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him, Jesus the Son, and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things are held together. The Bible, as we go through, is no doubt what the Bible teaches and who the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was. Acts 20, 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. An absolute reference to Jesus Christ. Called Him God, and He bought the church with His own blood. Philippians 2, 5 to 6. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Absolute equality with God. At the absolute same nature as God. Hebrews 1, 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, of God's majesty. I think the Bible is, and I had to really limit the verses that I could use in some of these. Otherwise, we would have had to come an hour early and just kind of read through some of these verses. But the Bible, people weren't really sure who God is. The Bible is absolutely clear on who Jesus is. It's God in flesh. I had an uncle one time at a funeral. I got to talking to him, and he is not a Christ follower, but he believes there's a God. And he believes Jesus was a good teacher and a great person. But he said there's no way Jesus is God because Jesus never claimed to be God. He said nowhere in the Bible did Jesus claim to be God. And I just laughed out loud, but it was a funeral, so I laughed quietly. I did not laugh at him, all right. But I want to tell you, the Bible claims that Jesus is and was God. Jesus, does he claim to be God? Listen to some of these verses. These are fun. Around is John. Into 20 average land, and then you listen to the them. Southern end of these Bible says that are doing it after the Baptist, beautiful preaching and healing on the Sabbath. Or, like, the ask him, this was where's your family? Because he keeps talking area. About you, Father, you sent me. Where is your field? Lots of question. Where are he living? Okay, it was economically the best choice out of all the land in the area. And
I knew you would know my Father also. He put these words. This is the temple court place where I was put. No one's in. Because it was he knew me. You and Father.
You know, was that wrong?
I don't think it's like if you knew my characteristics, you would know the Father's characteristics. If you knew me, you knew the Father. And here's why we'll go from there. John 8:23.
Continues in this context.
You are from below, oh boy. From above. You are of this
kid,
world,
they're
not of this world.
But it's just like you created this like recipe for
yourself. If you do not believe. A-S-E-R-D, okay? Talking about the Father. I told you, sins,
if I believe sin or not me, it's just like,
die in your sin. Who are you there?
Way about the
to what am I telling you? It says, beginning, he's replied.
So, like,
he's talking
the
about
Jesus. Trampling in the pool, and you're like, oh, man.
Says, I am he. And then he gets specific. They fix the 59. Your father Abraham voiced the thought of being someday. He saw and was dead. Your father Abraham lived way before that. Rejoicing. And it's not even 50 years old yet to him. You've seen Abraham. True to you, Jesus answered. In other words, this is absolute, whichever it was, but very I tell you, Jesus answered. Abraham was born.
A lot more information.
That was a huge statement.
Okay.
You know, that came
and I think
one of the times.
Outside this context. But this is it.
Yeah.
Really great.
Right? That
the what a bad decision that.
Oh, kidding.
This
was tired before bring out of it, and he's just such an awesome guy. Because
There's a lot of
scared.
Was
scared. I don't speak
this valley
around and
flutter.
I'm all
read it. As
all you I never share my woman ever because I get nervous.
Incredible.
No, this is the thing.
I'm going
to share a couple million.
So well,
and he was just scared to death. Right?
He uses
a famous stars that we use.
But was,
okay.
Was like,
but if I
feel
more, who should I tell him sent me? And what was God's word? Tell him the I am has sent you. That's how God referred to himself. That was just God's own personal name, I am. I love that. Someday you could do it. We could probably
just
someone
money.
Really scum.
People were so prosperous and wealthy then they had been able to.
The
time developed the
Christians,
I, and they left for being so
I'm
arrogant,
no.
prideful.
That's
this time we actually get
the
to know it's
can,
a stories.
I am that specifically
believe.
Well, the Jewish leaders
what's my
was be
you
called God. You didn't even need this. The end
of the ultimate
says to these Jewish leaders, he said, before Abraham was
in general of compassion,
at this
another girl,
stone him,
who literally
himself, slipping away the temple guards,
they give him some bread. The people of the town are so furious about that.
You want to know who is?
Dead.
You want to know who I am? I am.
For showing kindness.
If that's who I am.
Since in New York,
just I am, but that's what he was saying, without a doubt, okay? John 9:35, little bit.
A selfish and uncaring.
Into the blind man. He finds him out there. Jesus, that they
had
a blind man found him. He said,
is
he the son of
God? Oh,
reference
comes from
God flesh.
On the
tree, is he man?
And he's,
tell me,
help
they believe in
Jesus
said,
with
have never seen him.
About bigger.
Then he is the
stone fell is
with
him.
Then
again, charges Eliezer
of slave. God, I believe and worship him.
Eliezer are like, God dang.
The one we're talking to, that's who.
You have to. So,
Messiah
is our
fixer. Man said,
this is like
God and worship him.
10, human life.
30.
Okay.
Again,
he 16.
Stones picked stones to stone. Jesus, them, shown good works from the Father. For
they did not help me.
Responded, we are not stoning you, they said, but for blaspheming, because you, mere man, claim to be.
Who are
I am
dead.
They with
I just think that sounds
enemy who not want to believe this God. They
knew that
he claimed
he moved in that
be
I am had no
he claimed
with
to be God.
Right.
I stick with out of my uncle.
See,
actually, victory goes with us, but hurt
regardless process to a culture. Goes
kidding.
Hey, Pam. Involved with them. It just seemed
what do you mean,
now,
my uncle?
Because of the well, this area obviously passing very rapidly. Everything got it now. Keep some
everybody
of the future nation. And
did they ever remake The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Right, that attracted.
They did. And anyway,
from
that's did you claim to
tax
on 24
to these 14
then,
different city states, basically?
Whoever
rebels,
believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness.
So take it captive along with men.
You have
the one who's stuff because
who's your,
not living.
Your father? They didn't understand the Trinity.
Right.
Dumb.
Soon to be.
You all understand the Trinity. And how God can be one, three individuals? No, I don't understand that either. But Jesus did. And the best way he could explain it, he's explaining it. And he is without a doubt claiming, I am God. John 14:6. Jesus
said,
I am the way,
life,
and
Father,
if you really knew me, you know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He's talking to the disciples. He's clear. He's trying to say, explain the Trinity, which there's no way a human mind can understand that. But without a doubt, he says, I am
God.
You've known the Father on you, him,
bringing them
seen
along with
me.
On the back, on
said, Lord, the Father will be
under
for us. Jesus,
God
is great. Says, I hear what you're saying, but just show me the Father. Okay? I don't understand all the stuff. And Jesus, I think on his
first
happy
or dead.
Compassionate father voice. Look, Philip, just
Abraham
could
and God on behalf of it.
And he says, Philip,
like, kind of don't what God was thinking when
he even after a back to Sodom, you for comes out such a long time.
To back.
One who has seen the Father
Abraham
say,
that he
Father, do you think it sounds like this is clicking God?
So many lifetimes
without amounts
of
he's clicking God the
Father. I would not.
It's just such a great thing. We are with doubt left by the teaching of the Word of God. Even though we will not be able to comprehend the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, that Jesus, right or wrong, came to be God.
And
one little of the passages, Jesus himself came to be God. The people were sure, his family wasn't sure, the Christ wasn't sure,
and God
Jesus himself was absolutely sure who he was, and the Bible backs that up.
Forward, there's a really cool moment where God and two angels come to Abraham's house and have dinner with him. Really cool.
And talk all about that kind of stuff. But the most important question is asked is who you say that. I don't care what the Jews thought about Jesus. I don't care what the people thought about Jesus. I
write
what the Bible says about Jesus. And I look what Jesus says about Jesus.
And
he does miracles. Everything that God would do, God was clear who he was. Now that his
shh. And then this
is now. Who said,
God,
who do you believe I am?
Myself.
And that's like a simple question. Can
this man not be the father of a nation
who say,
of earth?
And we just,
father,
of course, God, believe your God. Who
no
do you believe that Jesus is?
Okay, it's an amazing opportunity to teach
more than a wonder. A lot of you read it.
Simple cities of the valley.
Three things that
obedience has become to
stay. He could be
I'm going to kill
the lunatic,
wipe him from the
liar. Okay?
Says to God,
I'm going to read
God
to you.
Righteous.
Book.
Lays
out Christ, Lee Strobel's, but he said, you ever have to believe literally that Jesus was one of three things. I'm going to change the order a little bit. We're going to look at it. Okay?
So you have like 45, if there's like people there.
Who
is destroy.
Jesus?
Okay.
These trees have qualifications and the way they live and all kind of stuff. But here's what they're all right? Now, lunatic and all that
and Lee and destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah.
All right. Study section here, okay?
Think
anybody's sitting? Yeah, I'm gonna be sitting. Jesus,
wounded.
All right, demon possessed. I don't think if you
were
demon possessed or something, please. Afterwards, I hear your theory and think that. But I'm gonna deal with that. I think the two important ones and the one we deal with in our lives are: is he a liar or is he God? Is he a liar or is he the Lord? And if we, okay, don't decide. Okay, don't decide who you believe he is yet.
His because their whole social circle and their emotions.
Here's a speak and
see,
what we think in our mind and what we say with our mouth.
He bows down to them.
Does
he's come to my house? Like, word will always square.
Is not
okay,
an indication.
Or you need house.
Say this.
House.
Well, our life doesn't always back up what we say and what we think.
Men
here's what I like.
Part of city of Sodom,
the,
and
go through
the house.
Think now.
Where
say I believe
is
God.
Tonight. So
come out of actions or action.
All men.
Your actions in
these two
case some speak loud in your word.
And this is where he chose to like live and raise his hand
alone.
For offense.
And there's no
way
we have amazing. We all
door,
and I think most will come down on the word side. But I want you to come down on the side of what is life
the point.
I say one thing
going
in my mouth and one
thing.
But there's a
on
my
action.
So here's this. Okay. Let's say if you believe that Jesus is a liar.
These two guys.
You know, a liar has to lie every
single time. The heights he
has. All right? But here, Jesus is a liar, becomes a claim of being God. If you
door,
Jesus is a liar, I think, no, he was a good
man.
At the whole standard,
men,
great to believe in him. Okay? Great to
sure.
God's he has a standard.
And
the book, How We Should Live Life, the best
come.
I believe he's a great teacher. And I believe he's a great teacher. But if you believe he's a liar, comes with
the
names of God with
the
son. Then you only was a teacher. You're a great man. You say, right most of the time. But I doubt. Because if you don't believe he is Lord, when he claimed to be
spiritual,
he wasn't telling the truth. He wasn't there else in the truth. That's the thing. You don't have to. God's a liar. He says, but he claimed to be. He's not. And he's a liar. Not in that he's the teacher. I can give believe. The liar comes to his hands and comes to his claims of God. He was most of the time. I don't think him struggling. And then you're going to most of the things made tonight. Follow because not the God Almighty, absolute truth, and his false claims to be cast shadow. Everything else says it doesn't to a pillar of salt. The cast shadow. If he lied, yeah. What area was to tell me? Another area. Should I tell him when he said these other things? If I believe that he loves God, you're going to say things like, well, I follow a lot of his teachings.
When Abraham wakes up in the morning and he sees the fire burn the distance like a giant furnace, and he weeps and mourns for the people that brought on
himself. Some of the things God says are good. But you know, every lie sure, being God, if I teach teaching, like I don't have to follow everything. I can choose. Kind of like the smorgasbord of quality. The smorgasbord of what I want to believe. I know exactly. God said, love my son, love my fellow man.
Became cult,
and God said, tithe, but right, and things are tight. I'm going to step over that. I know it's a blessing, but no, but we move on. Next. Know what God says about integrity. That well, about God, I'm going to. I know we it's about spiritual pure. Yeah, I think I'll leave that one for and move on. We can choose what people's to God. A trustworthy.
And human sacrifice and worship of Moloch and
and so we get to pick and choose through the smorgasbord of God. We're not supposed to trust for all things. Like that situation.
It's that choice.
I don't know if I thank because how could a good God allow something like to happen or something else? And I'll just go over that. Just leave really and live onion stuff, you know? So I'll just go on. Get, if you believe Jesus is God, if we leave the fire in this area, then we literally get to pick and choose. And so a lot of people do that. Well, I like God and I love all the teaching, but he's not perfect.
The iron and the
oxygen and choose to believe and live and and like
ways, Borges lines. I'm in a position where I talked to a lot of God.
Years ago, I thought something from his
side.
God really covering time. Well, this happened, and how could that happen?
But it's life.
It's because as he said, he's sick. This doesn't fit my belief.
A high school girl a couple years ago who said to us, nearly all my friends are sleeping with their boyfriends in school, or at least compromising in some way.
God. And to enter whatever after the step, you know. And hope
at them and say,
stay. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to do my best. I'll try to
don't affect that Emily.
And, you know,
the
problem is, adults, I believe there's a lot of one.
You know, I think the big industry of
said God,
of his family,
don't believe it was all right then. His whole world love was an interpretation. So you want to give it
to those Jones, people.
A story. Was it days of Christian or was it her and all kinds of stuff? And are some of the books and
how he made
and kinds of stuff.
You know?
Because if Jesus was not God, then he was great. All he told
in your anger.
And the Bible teaches it questionable because they claim that Jesus
was God. How many times
Jesus
was
questionable because he said he was God and I don't see God.
Way too much.
The Bible
seems like
this questionable.
You know?
You say,
you
think God,
I don't think they're
sure. Which you really say, none of you
sit here right now
that. The people so God is, don't have
these my mom's
peeps.
Dress.
A lot of people sitting in the
dividing that
liar
into your own.
Now, this. The third is his word. And that's the Greek word,
and hearted.
Sir, something
who do not have
that means God. Jesus
as
Jesus God. Now, we believe Jesus is literally God in flesh. The ramification of that is he cannot or
work
or lie. What's the ramification of believing he's God and that he did not or cannot lie? What's the simple ramification?
You just let it happen.
Everything says
God is everything. Save his people. And
everything. In the Bible, is true. He trusts
all he had, just mainly among the
if you believe in his God,
all he
to believe was his right.
through God's desire was right as fast
is and doable.
People of Sodom.
Because he'll never give by what was right. Our life can't handle. He'll never allow everything to provide out. Everything he can do is
if God can
all things right through me. How many people I could untoast
and him. The nation of
just, I'm not going on testimonies because I'm not forcing anybody to testimony. Never
became such
never,
a of God's
the only never gonna
be included in the apology of the world.
Well, through Christ,
God is good.
So believe that He's God, and all He requires and asks for us, best and people. If we believe God, then we believe He is sovereign over all and circumstances and things. So that everything that happens, good,
so that they took like it's
for God
to do.
Is a
So
every,
do it.
Even the hurt about this, like Christ, even those sins that were done again,
in, where we have to be around our character, and we have to do job.
Done
and that corruption is there every day, and you're not with, go to work with.
For
that. Look, it turns out
God in his sovereignty says, hey.
It's purpose. Dude, just we're going to be here.
So if we believe inside
that it doesn't get
people over things, see, so would believe that God is.
Put that metal and put a negatively charged
it happens like, that we don't like
a layer of
sodden weak
chromium called galvanization. And that protection gives that metal the extra strength it needs to endure that corrosion process.
Terrible!
Dude,
those pain, those, they're
hopeless. From being corrupt.
We believe as God.
Like,
we believe
once there,
God
said,
then we would be
to a God
out
and leaves. And be free, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess for he who called us is faithful. Let us consider how we must spur one another on to loving deeds, not for not giving up meeting together,
but
habit of doing.
Know that he will allow
us all the more as
harmless,
the day approaches.
He has our interest at heart.
Yes,
oh, he loves us. So why
that
this adjust our life?
That here's a man that opportunity thing, and he totally blew
habits,
ruined chins, and
ruined his
life, all because of progression of choice.
Believe you,
and that was
the ramifications
integration.
Is God,
is there a bad
be with
for the life of your family?
God, even we don't understand.
Do that. That's
we would agree because God, if he don't
understand,
because he could sustain
that's what we're doing.
Everything.
He will achieve that in our are already made.
Always decree. Last week, even when he again, all human reasoning, because he is absolutely trustworthy all the time. See, that's what I'm saying. Don't this question. Who do you believe
strong,
is?
Firm,
if we
corrupted
the word of his word, truth.
Negative example.
And that even in may do my thinking to
author and perfecter of our amen. Come back next week.
All his choices in this is good morning. It's good to see you guys all. I missed you over the last couple weeks. You were here, I wasn't, and I was on vacation. And I've got to tell a couple things. When I got home, when I came home this week and walked into church, something really struck me that just, it was real noticeable. Everything was clean. And I'm not surprised at that because I don't do the cleaning. All right. But it's just, I really appreciated you guys that had the church looking nice and smelling good. And thank you so much for you guys that volunteer all that service and save us all that, the finances that can go to missions and things because you're willing to do that. But I love you guys being involved. Thank you. And it's good to be back. I was, we were in Florida for the last couple of weeks. Vicky and I and my youngest son and his wife, Nate and Grace, were there, and we had a really good time. And some of the things that we're doing, I'll show you one picture I brought back that kind of lets you know what we were doing. And that we spent a lot of time doing that. We got 83 of them, 83 lobsters. We put a chest freezer in the back of the truck, took it down, and we spent a long time getting lobsters, barracuda, and stuff like that. So we brought a whole bunch of stuff back. And I was going to invite you all to our house for dinner today. But on the way home from Key Largo, driving through Jacksonville, I had enough of Vicky I could take in, so I dropped her off in Jacksonville, and she's still there, and she's coming home tonight at her brother's house. Anyway, but and I just want to say, it's just fun to say I had enough of her. I didn't. I miss her like crazy. But anyway, she's coming home tonight. Looking forward to that. But that's what we did down there and did a lot of fishing. I wanted to say I thank you that you guys afford me the opportunity to take vacation. Thank you so much for that privilege to be able to do that, and for putting up without me, and for providing that I can do that, and just wanted to thank you for those vacation times, and I just hugely appreciate that. We can get started. Megan isn't here in this service, is she? Some of you guys know Megan Lopez and her new fiance Bennett. Just wanted to let you know, make sure you congratulate her. She was here the first service. Adam stood and stand up and she sparkled a little ring at us, you know. I don't know if it's a little ring. I'm not commenting on the size of the rock. I didn't really see it, you know, but it's probably bigger than the one I gave Vicky. Anyway, but it's great. It's great to have you guys here. I'm looking forward to this morning. And some of the guys Andy did a fantastic job. I heard from a lot of people and the challenge in Irv, wherever he is, from sharing his testimony. And I just really enjoyed it. And Pastor Bob did an excellent job. I listened to that on the way home, and I was really inspired and encouraged by heaven. And bummer that I couldn't get to do that message, but he probably did it way better than me anyway, and it's really... So what I'd like to do, you thought we were done Revelation, we're not. I'm going to finish up today. And I want to, as I look over at Revelation, I have been really, really impressed with Revelation. More than I ever have before, the more I studied it, the more we talked about it this week, the more of God's grace I saw in Revelation. Revelation has it's got... the distinction of like doomsday kind of stuff. This is what's going to happen. But every single thing that happens in Revelation we'll be talking about today is God's grace. God's gracious. God's gracious. He didn't have to be gracious. He doesn't still have to be in the future gracious because the age of grace will be finished at the rapture. But even though he doesn't have to, his character is grace. He couldn't help himself all through. It's warning after warning, invitation after invitation. When he didn't realize, God is not willing that anybody should perish. God wants all men to know him. And I've just been more and more, I've really enjoyed Revelation because of the grace that's all throughout it. But before I get started on, we are going to spend some time worshiping God today. In the middle of the service, we're going to be taking communion, okay? More as a worship to God through communion. And then I'll finish the last couple of verses of Revelation. So I just kind of remind us where we're at and some of the things that we've done in Revelation. I really believe it's about it. We are called to worship God. And I don't think we understand that in America, what it means to worship somebody. You know, every once in a while you have an idol for a little while, you know, but to worship God is just incredible. And someday we're going to understand fully what that means. But if we as people don't worship God, who's going to worship God? Abby read that passage there that said the fields, the trees are going to cry out, the ant people. If anyway, that's what, Lord of the Rings? Yeah, anyway. But, the trees are going to cry out. The fields are going to cry out. The oceans are going to cry out. A matter of fact, when Jesus was here, right on Palm Sunday, when he was coming to Jerusalem to face the last week of his physical life on earth before he was crucified, Luke 19:36 says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then some of the Pharisees, they're the stuck-in-the-mud church people, okay? Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said this, interesting. I tell you, he replied, that if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. You've heard that passage before, very famous. What does it mean the stones will cry out? What did he mean by that? Anybody want to venture being wrong? Now you're scared? What he meant by that was if we don't praise God, the stones will cry out. Literally. The same as the field and everything in the ocean. And they will cry out before God to praise God. It's not that God says, I'm really cool, everybody praise me or I'll strike you down. No. God's character, as we've been studying even in Revelation, is so amazing that how can we keep quiet? How can we not praise that God unless we're like German? Sorry, Micah. You know, but we're Pennsylvania Dutch. Maybe that would be better to say, you know. And we don't get really excited unless it's a football game or something, or a girls' whistle hockey game, or field hockey, or whatever. I'm sorry. But anyway, we are called to praise God. And even in our stubborn little quiet self, we need to praise God. And God says, because all of heaven says how worthy. We'll talk about it in a minute. If we don't, you know who else is going to praise God if we don't? I came across this really, this is one of Vicky's favorite stories in the Bible, and she's going to be mad at me. I told her I was going to do this, and she said it was okay. 1 Samuel 5:1-1 and starting the beginning of that. And this takes place, Eli is a prophet, and Eli was the Bible says he was a big, fat guy. Doesn't say it in those words, but it was very heavy. And Israel was at war with the Philistines, and they captured the Ark of the Covenant. And when Eli found that out, he had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, which were just really nasty guys. They messed around with the women in the tent. They stole from God's offering and stuff. And when they were killed, it didn't bother him. But when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen, the Bible says he fell backwards and broke his neck because he was a very heavy man. Okay, but this takes place right after that, that when the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. After the Philistines had captured the Ark, this is 1 Samuel 5, the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer and to Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set it beside Dagon. Dagon was the god that the Philistines worshipped. He was kind of like the fish god, bottom half part fish, kind of like a merman. That's what I pictured when I read the description of it, you know. But they worshipped this god. He was just to him, he was like the god of gods. And he was supposed to be the father of Baal, which a lot of you guys know about Baal worship in the Bible and stuff and the dreadful things that happened there. But they took the Ark of the Covenant and they set it beside this stone statue of Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon falling on his face. Fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. I just think that's awesome. Brought it into the temple, and in the morning, there's Dagon laying prostrate in front of the Ark of God as a worship god. So their god, small g, is laying in front of the, worshiping the god of the Ark, and you know, really, it was a stone, so it really couldn't worship very well. Anyway, they took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. His head and hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. And so the next day, could have been coincidence the first day, I doubt it, but the next day there's Dagon again laying down before the Ark of the Covenant, and his head and his hands were lined up on the threshold. And that was a very specific thing God was saying to the Philistines, because the Philistines, the sign of conquering somebody was to cut their hands and head off and keep that. You know, because David and Goliath, and David cut the head off of Goliath, they knew the message. They heard the message that God was giving them by this coincidence. And it said that from then on, nobody came into the temple. They never stepped on the threshold because they thought it was like a superstition or whatever. Anyway, the Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them, afflicted them with tumors. When the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, "The Ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us because his hand is heavy on us and on Dagon our God." They recognized the preeminence of Jehovah God. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, "What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" Now, you know what they probably should have done, right? They probably should have said, "Let's get rid of Dagon and worship this God of Israel because he is obviously a greater God. So let's worship him." But just like we're seeing in Revelation, they didn't do that. They got more and more angry at him. Even though God showed them a specific sign of who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was, the Lord's hand, it says, they answered, "Have the Ark of the God of Israel moved to Gath." So they moved the Ark of God of Israel. So they took the Ark, and instead of worshiping the God of the Ark, they said, "Let's give it to our neighboring city, you know, give it to them because all kinds of bad stuff's happening to them." But after they had moved it, the Lord's hand was against that city, throwing into great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. As the Ark of God was entering Ekron, the people of Ekron cried out, "They have brought the Ark of God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and said, "Send the Ark of God of Israel away. Let it go back to its own place, or it will kill us and our people." They recognized the power of God all over Philistine. The Philistines, "Send the Ark of God away back to Israel. Let it go back to its own people. For death had filled the city with panic. God's hand was very heavy on it. And those who did not die were afflicted with tumors. And the outcry of the city went up to heaven. And when the Ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory 7 months, the Philistines called for the priests and diviners and said, 'Let's worship God.' No. 'What shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how we should send it back to its place.'" I read all that story because it's a funny story. I can just picture this happening. It's just like, God is just so unbelievably clear sometimes. And the people went, "Duh, let's send it back." But haven't we heard that throughout the tribulation? When God continually warns. For one thing, we have the whole entire story of what God says is going to happen in the future.